Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Looking at this evening, I want for us simply to see the importance of engaging with God's word. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. You are to be active. You are to be deliberate. You are to be intentional in engaging with the word of God. So often, life just happens, doesn't it? Life just happens. You don't know what the day will bring. You don't know what's going to happen next, and it happens and you're swept along. Sometimes you feel as though you're a victim to the circumstances of life. There's a danger that becomes our approach to everything. And that becomes our approach even to the word of God. So we gather for family worship and whatever's read is read. You come to church and whatever's read is read. You open your own Bible and whatever you read, that's what you read. But you know, it's possible. And I believe that you all know this is possible because you've all experienced that, that the word can be read, the word of the living God is read, and yet it washes over you. It sweeps past you. Your eyes can pick along the words, understanding each and every individual word, and yet not really taking it in. It's as though your sight dances from word to word, but never quite grasps it, that the mind doesn't take hold of it. It's like when you're in a conversation and someone says, "Are you listening?" and you realise you've not been listening. Well, it can be the same when it comes to reading God's word. And that's why I say it is important that you engage with the word. That's what we're told here. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Don't just pitch up with the hope that perhaps maybe it might catch your attention. But rather come determined to give it your attention that you might receive from the hand of God. Do you know, if you only read the Bible when just at the point where you wake in the morning or just at the point where you're about to go to sleep at night, if that's the only time you read your Bible, then that means that you're reading your Bible at the time when you're least able, probably, to take it in. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't read it first thing, and I'm not saying you shouldn't read it last thing. I'm not trying to say to you that that's not a good thing to do, but what I'm saying is you need to take time to read the scriptures when you're at your best, when you're sharpest, when you're clearest. Because it's more than simply reading the Bible that is required. It is rather serious thought. It is to engage with the word, to meditate upon it. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Not just that you're familiar, but that you would have a feel. You'd have an understanding. Peter puts it this way in his first epistle. He says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind." To gird up your loins. You can imagine the sort of clothes someone would wear in the biblical time. If they had to work hard, if they had to strive, to fight, if they had to run, then they would gather together their clothes and they would pull them up and tuck them in so that they were free to then exert all their effort. And Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind. Have nothing straggling, nothing trailing. Have no distractions, nothing that will snag, nothing that will hold you back. Peter was talking about the angels who delight to look into the work of redemption. And he says, if the angels desire to do it, well, shouldn't you gird up the loins of your mind? Apply yourself to see the greatness of God's mercy. I know there may be many dietary deficiencies. And in some societies, perhaps the dietary deficiency relates to a lack of food, a lack of nutrients, not being able to take in the right things. But in our society, dietary deficiency generally relates to a problem with digestion, not with intake. Because we live in a prosperous society. There's plenty of food. And so people are able to eat the right things, but sometimes the body doesn't digest and doesn't extract the correct things from the food that's been eaten. The problem's not with intake, the problem's with digestion. And often, friends, I believe that's the case with God's word. Certainly within the church. Certainly within the community of those who read the scriptures, of those who love the Lord. It's not that we don't hear the word, it's not that we don't read the word, it's not that we don't take it in, but the question is, do you engage with it? Do you digest it? Do you meditate upon it? You know, there should be two simultaneous reading patterns that you have, and one is to read broadly and one is to read narrowly. What I mean by that is, sometimes you should read the whole chapter. Sometimes you should read the whole book. Sometimes you should read page after page. And sometimes you should read just a few words. Just a few verses. Just a verse. You need the context. You need the sweep of scripture. But you also need to give matured thought to the points of scripture, to the detail. You know, from the pulpit, I strive to find some balance, and there are occasions when there is consecutive teaching through a book, and there are other times when I'm looking at a verse here and then looking at a verse there and looking at different parts of the Bible. And I think it's important to do both. I think it's important to have that consecutive teaching, to go through the narrative that we're given in the scriptures. I think we also need to go here and we need to go there, depending on the circumstances of the day, depending on what's happening in our lives, depending on what seems to be the priority in our experience. And so it should be in your own personal reading and studying of the scripture. There are some passages in scripture which are difficult to understand. I don't say that to discourage you, but in a sense I say that to encourage you. So that you would know that it's not just you that struggles with them. But what's important is you understand that it is all scripture. It all comes from the one place. It is all the word of the living God. This is Colossians 3.16. You should remember that because you know John 3.16. Well, this is Colossians 3.16. And in 2 Timothy 3.16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Here, it's simply described as being the word of Christ. So don't have a false dichotomy in your mind between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Paul, writing to the church in Colossae, and he's speaking about the word of Christ. He's talking about the whole canon of the scripture. He refers particularly to the Psalms, the hymns and spiritual songs, the book of Psalms. It's the word of Christ. And therefore, you're to read it knowing that it is the word of Christ. Remember taking the children at the church youth camp on a nature trail one year. And it was organised for us, and at the start of the nature trail, the man gave the children certain objectives. He asked them certain questions, and they were to go and find certain things as we walked through the forest. And as a result of that, it was amazing what they discovered. Because they didn't just walk through the forest, they walked through the forest looking for particular things. And as they looked for some particular things, they discovered many particular things that they would have otherwise have missed. As you work through God's word, do so looking for particular things. Because as you read looking for particular things, you will find particular things. What should you look for? Friends, look for Christ himself. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. This is the word of Christ. So look for him. To hear his voice. To understand his instruction, his rebuke. The word of Christ dwelling in you richly in all wisdom. You are to develop this knowledge. It's not a mere intellectual knowledge. It involves the mind, but it is the knowledge of experience. And growing and developing is expected in a Christian life. There's a rebuke, isn't there, for the church in Corinth. There's a rebuke for the Hebrews because they're still on milk when they should have progressed on to meat. They hadn't grown and developed. The word of Christ, it didn't dwell on them richly in all wisdom. And that's why we need to progress beyond the familiar passages. We're not to neglect the familiar passages. I'm not ever to think that we understand them so well that we never go back. We are to read the familiar, but we must also extend through the whole of the scripture because this is the word of Christ. This is the word of God for you. And in order to read the whole of scripture, you really should have a reading program. Not one that's so ambitious that you find yourself falling behind and then you get discouraged and then you're tempted to stop. But there should be some program, whether it is that you simply begin at Genesis and work through, or whether you follow some scheme. Whether it is you read Old Testament in the morning and New Testament at night. But you need to make time, not necessarily a long time, but regular time. And as you read, look for Christ and ask questions of the passage. What does this say? What does this mean? Why did it say it that way? Why is this theme repeated? Why don't I see this theme in other parts? If you ask these questions, if you read asking questions, then you are more likely to find answers. And if you don't find answers, you can bring these questions and you can bring them to me or you can bring them to someone else and we can help you to find the answers. You might say, but minister, don't you think we know all this? And I would say, yes. But my question is, do you do all this? You see, the minister's responsibility is not simply to bring new things, but to remind you of old things and to encourage you to press on with faithfulness. You are to engage with the word. But this passage also tells us that we are to express the word. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now that expression is not only singing, but it includes singing. We might say it's particularly singing. I mean, the church gathers together. It's only particular individuals who have a responsibility to stand at the front and to speak. But we all have a responsibility to join together and to sing. And probably for the largest part of the history of the church, the majority of people have maybe not been able to read, or if they were able to read, didn't always have their own copy of the scriptures. And therefore singing was very important. Because singing enabled them to become familiar with God's word and to express it. It's interesting. There's a letter written about the year 111 AD by a man called Pliny, who was a Roman governor or administrator. He was in Turkey, and he wrote to the Emperor Trajan, and he's talking about the problem of the Christians. And he's speaking about how he's trying to deal with the Christians. And he describes what these Christians are like. And he says, the sort of thing they get up to is this. There's a quote from his letter. On a fixed day before dawn, they gather and sing responsively a hymn to Christ as to a God. And they bind themselves by oath not to do some crime, but not to commit fraud, theft or adultery, not to falsify their trust, nor to refuse to return a trust when called upon to do so. This was their crime, that they gathered together and they sang a hymn together. They sang praise to God. These were individuals who were persecuted. There was a danger that when the next gather together, one or two of their number would be missing because they've been taken by the Roman authorities. And Pliny describes how that's what he would do. When he heard an accusation, he would seize them and imprison them. So what did this church do? They didn't scatter and stay apart. They gathered together and they sang together. To one another, but firstly to God, but yet singing to one another. You see, if you truly engage with the word, you'll be compelled to sing. And if you sing properly, you are engaging with the word. Because if you sing properly, you are actually responding to the word and you're expressing the word. Teaching and admonishing. There's an overlap. These are not two absolute distinct things, to teach and to admonish. What it means is to put in mind. You know, here's your opportunity to put in the mind of your Christian friends, your Christian brothers and sisters, the things of Christ, the word of Christ. You can sing in such a way that they will be better able to carry the truth of God with them as they go out into a hostile world. In Psalm 119 in verse 11, the psalmist says, thy word I in my heart have hid. But don't misunderstand that. The psalmist isn't saying, I've hid it in my heart so that no one can see it. What he's saying rather is, I've hid it in my heart so it's there in my heart so it can be expressed in my life. You're to engage with the word. You're to express the word. But thirdly, and very briefly, as you do so, you must expect the Spirit's help. As you engage and as you express, you must do so knowing this is God's word, and so do so prayerfully. Do so confessing your dependence and also with the expectation that God is faithful But he who has given his word will open your eyes, will open your heart, will give you an understanding. You know, the work of revelation is twofold. There is the giving of the scripture, and there is the opening of the eyes. Our Lord himself said in Luke chapter 11, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" My friends, as you engage with God's word, start by asking God for his Spirit. As you express God's word, ask God for his Spirit. And as you ask God for his Spirit, do so with expectation, because how good is he? He's saying, if you as imperfect individuals are able to give good gifts to your children, how much more will God give the supreme blessing to those who ask for it? Well then, let us remember to ask so that we might receive, so that we might rejoice. Amen. Mr. McLeod, can I ask you to lead us in prayer, please?